Amen. All right. Let's play Name That Hymn. Does anybody know that last hymn that they were playing? Onward, Christian Soldiers. All right, Christian Soldiers, you ready to move onward? All right. If you are a guest with us today, welcome. We are so grateful that you've chosen to be with us today. Hopefully, when you came in this morning, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table, that would be so helpful. Hopefully you also received a bulletin. Hopefully everybody else got a bulletin. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. Let's kind of talk over just a few things. No activities this week, so have a great week. Don't forget our Daily Bread devotional books out on the table and in the information table. Today and next Sunday are the two last days that you can sign up for t-shirts for the anniversary. We need to get the order in. So if you haven't stopped by the information table and signed up for a t-shirt and the color of t-shirt and the size of the t-shirt, you need to make sure that you do all of that before you leave today. And also, you'll see a note in the bulletin. If you have pictures of past events, no matter how far past, they could be just a couple months ago, they could be a couple years ago, they could be 50 years ago, okay? If you have some pictures of past events, and there's a list there, I'm not going to go over those, or people that have attended the church here, would you send them to our church anniversary team? They are putting together a slideshow that they want to present during the celebration, probably a couple times during the weekend, and they don't have a whole lot right now. So if you can help them out with that, that would be wonderful. So maybe make yourself a note, circle this announcement in the bulletin to be reminded to be able to do that. The faster that you do that, the better that they'll be able to have that all in place before our anniversary celebration in September. Also, if you've not signed up for any of the events, if you're not registered, today they're going to help you register. There's going to be a computer, I believe, set up out in the foyer. And so right after the service, stop by if you've not RSVP'd for the anniversary celebration yet, the church anniversary celebration. So you will have an opportunity to be able to do that. They will help you do that. Now, if you've already sent in by email or some other way an RSVP, if you've talked with somebody from the anniversary team and said, here, I'm going to be here, and they got to the events, they got you all signed up, you don't need to stop by the computer today. You're already in. You're already in the count. They've already got all of that information. If you haven't contacted them, given them any kind of reservation, you need to stop by the computer today. And they're going to do this for the next few weeks. But I wouldn't wait much longer. I would get it done as quickly as possible. That way you could cross it off your to-do list, right? That's always a good thing. Well, there's other announcements in the bulletin. That's why it's so important for you to be able to make sure that you have a bulletin. Also, I would like to honor our fathers today. So if you're a father and you're here this morning, would you stand? All right. Let's give them a round of applause, shall we? Okay, great. And then if you're here and you're not a father, go ahead and stand. No, stay standing. Stay standing. All right. Okay. All right. Great. Because we want to honor men. So men, we have a gift box for you. They are out on the information table. You can stop by the information table, pick one up on your way out. And so this is just a way for us to be able to say thank you for being a part of Lake Hazel Bible Church. Thank you for being here today, this Sunday on Father's Day. So let's take a moment and let's pray for the men that are here this morning. Father, we are just so grateful for the men that you have implanted into our lives. And Father, I'm so thankful for godly men. So thankful that they love you. They love your word. Father, they love their families. And Father, they love them enough to be able to try to pass on their faith to them. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pass on our faith to those who are coming behind us. We're to share with them your word. We're to help them to be able to grow in their knowledge of you and their knowledge of your word. So, Father, I pray that we who are standing, we who are men, especially the men who call this church their home church, Father, may we be steadfast to be able to do what it is that you have given us to do, to fulfill our godly responsibilities of training up our kids, training up our grandkids, training up our families. Father, help us to just honor and glorify you because, Father, we love you and we love your word. So, Father, thank you for giving us that responsibility, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Okay, ready to move forward? Let's go, worship team.
So stand back up.
Stand back up. Ladies, join the men standing up.
Would you all join me this morning? Stand if you can. We're going to sing, "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise." We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Let's sing it again. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Up Jesus today, so sing these songs from your heart. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Your name. Lord, we're here for you and for you alone. We're here to praise you, glorify you, recognize you. You are the best, Father. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us, by providing for us, by giving us a hope and a future and life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. God is so good. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to sing all about his goodness and his love today. So, so good. Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour. The dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power. Should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Your grace that saved this broken heart and made it new again. Your blood has made a way. And now I stand forgiven. I've been called by name, and I will sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. Jesus, sing of how you lay down your life for me. I was blind, but now I see the mercy of
Of Jesus, sing about you, lay down your life for me. Yeah.
Lord, we're so thankful, so thankful for what you did at that cross for us. Lord, we believe when you said that you can give eternal life, that you meant it and you have the power to do it. Only you can save and deliver. Only you have the power to heal, and only you conquered death in the grave. So, Lord, we place our faith and our hope in you, because you're the giver of life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering, and gosh, there's so much to be thankful for. Amen?
Amen.
Let's sing about that.
There is a love so good, it never ever ends. There is a joy with every morning new. A solid rock that stands when all around me shakes. Jesus, I find it all in you. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. A thousand blessings, a million more. It's so easy to praise you, Lord. I've got so much to be thankful for. There is a hope so strong, it holds me through the storm. There is a faith that makes the mountains move. A name so great, a name not even death can stand against. Jesus, I find it all in you. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. A thousand blessings, a million more. It's so easy to praise you, Lord. I've got so much to be thankful for. And I just can't forget what you've done for me. You've been so good. And I just can't forget how you washed me clean. You've been so good. And I just can't forget how you set me free. You've been so good. And I just can't forget that the grave's empty. You've been so good. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. A thousand blessings, a million more. It's so easy to praise you, Lord. I've got so much to be thankful for. I've got so much to be thankful for.
Do you have so much to be thankful for today? Yes. Yes and yes. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, continuing on in our study of the book of Genesis. And if you've already looked at the notes, if you've already looked at the title of the message, we are going to be talking about sin's slippery slope. Many of you talked about how wonderful the message was last Sunday and how much it meant a lot to you, and my prayer is that you will say the same thing. Some did say that they thought the message last week was long. They said it was good, but it was long. I just want to remind you that I'm going to preach what it is that God has given me to preach. And when I'm done, I'm done. Okay? And so if you don't like that length, then you take it up with him. Okay? Because he's the one who gives it. I'm just the, don't shoot the messenger, okay? That's all I am. I'm just the messenger. All right. So it's very unsettling to lose your footing, isn't it? How many of you have had that experience? And it happens so quickly, right? There's usually not a whole lot of preparation time before you fall. Ever try to walk on an icy driveway or a parking lot? By the way, I know today's the first day of summer, but when winter hits, we keep our parking lot, hopefully, ice-free. So you won't have to worry about coming to church when it's frosty or when it's icy and slipping in the parking lot. Have you ever tried walking on a fresh waxed or mopped tile floor and then you lost your footing? It's not a good thing. So I found some humorous thoughts on losing our footing. I didn't trip. I auditioned for gravity. I kind of thought that was good. Gravity stays undefeated. You know, that's a law that never changes. You fall, you start to fall, your gravity's going to kick in, right? You just can't stop it. I was just testing the quality of the floor. I like that one. I may use that sometime. I don't bounce, I ache. How many of you had that experience? Yeah, exactly. So we've been learning that there's nothing funny about how Eve started sliding into sin when Satan unleashed his temptation and those schemes on her. Now, today's message is connected to last Sunday. So if you didn't listen to last Sunday's, you weren't here for that, go on the church website and you'll be able to listen to it because it's there. All right? And if you have any problems with that, see Shane or talk to Jeremy or Christine, and they'll be able to help you be able to navigate the website to be able to do that. So today's message is connected to last Sunday's, where last Sunday we learned to be warned of Satan's strategy and how we can be protected from it. Satan's insidious and sinister work was made complete because Eve was left to her physical appetites, her inflamed emotions, and her fleshly desires. So this morning, let's continue to look at the rest of the narrative. Hopefully by now you found Genesis chapter 3. Follow along as I read verses 6 and 7. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Did you get that? Her husband who was where? With her. Okay, that's very important. When she ate, she did not have to run through the garden to try to find him to say, here, you need to have some of this too. He was standing right there. He was listening to this whole conversation between Satan and Eve. He was standing right beside her. Look at verse 7. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So since we used 5 words to identify the stages of temptation last week, there are 6 words that begin with the letter D to describe sin's slippery slope. And I know what you're already thinking. We had 5 last week, and that seemed long. We have 6 today. Man, we're in for it today. We'll see. We'll see. So our text this morning is going to show us how humankind went from very good, remember? After God created humans, he looked at his creation and he said it was what? Very good. This morning, we're going to see how humankind went from very good to very broken in a short amount of time. So here's the main point. And I'm going to stress this over and over again this morning. To avoid sliding into sin, be sure to be tied to God's truth. So let's describe the slide into sin. The first way that sin, we start to slide into it, is because sin looks delicious. The beginning of the slippery step that Eve took is found in the first phrase of verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now this word saw means to gaze, to behold, to perceive. This wasn't just a passing glance. She was standing where? In front of the tree. And while she was standing in front of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what was she doing? She was looking and looking and looking. She could have made a passing glance and went on her way along with her husband at her side. She didn't do that. She stood and she looked. She gazed. She beheld. She perceived. And as she gazed at the forbidden fruit, she saw that it was good for food, which meant she found it pleasant and appealing. While looking at the fruit from the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, she decided the fruit from this tree was more delicious than anything else around her. She made that determination. God didn't. God didn't say, stay away from that tree, even though the fruit of that tree looks so much better than the fruit of the other trees. God didn't say that. In fact, God said, listen, all of the other trees of the garden, all of the other plants of the garden are good for food. They're yours to be able to partake of. No problems. But the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of evil, don't eat it. Don't eat it. So she decided that this tree and its fruit was more delicious than anything else around her. And you know, most temptations begin when we see something shiny, sensual, or spectacular. And once she focused on this fruit, that which was forbidden became an all-consuming notion. You ever had that experience? Satan brings a temptation into your life. You know you're not supposed to give in. You know you're supposed to avoid it. You know you're supposed to resist the devil and he will flee from you, the book of James tells us. But what do? You keep looking. You keep focusing on the temptation. Instead of a passing glance and moving forward, you stand and you look. To avoid sliding into sin, be sure to be tied to God's truth. Here's another way to describe the slide into sin. It's delightful. Delightful. After seeing how delicious the fruit would be, Eve was mesmerized by how much delight it would bring her. Notice that it said that it was a delight to the eyes. And this phrase has the idea of a craving that leads one to be, you ready for this? Greedy. Greedy. When we are greedy, we're feeding what? Our selfish desires. Our selfish ambitions. Our eyes are the window through which our desires turn into cravings. And we must be careful what we allow our eyes to see. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. To avoid sliding into sin, be sure to be tied to God's truth. Here's another one, desirable. After setting her sights on how delicious and delightful the fruit would be to eat, Eve desired it more than anything. See what it said? And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. And the word desire here in the Hebrew is translated as the same word covet, which means craving intensely and passionately. Eve is desiring something. What is she desiring? Wisdom. We're going to see that here in a moment. Eve is desiring wisdom, which refers to acting with insight, with the ability to understand. Instead of accepting God's definition of good, Eve decided to form her own definition of good. Eve redefined God's standard according to what she declared to be delicious, delightful, and desirable. By the way, this is a complete picture of what's happening in society today. Society today is redefining that which is wrong. It's redefining that which we know is evil and unrighteous. It's redefining that which God's word says is not something that should be a part of our lives. But they go around and they redefine it. To what? To make it look more appealing. To make it look more desiring. To make it more desirable. To make it more, you ready for this? Delicious. And Eve's descent into selfish desire is described so well in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Boy, that describes the course that Eve was following. This is God's words, and it's this clear description of sin's slippery slope. Sin is never satisfied and will always demand more and more. And the downward spiral into sin sped up when Eve allowed herself to start slipping, when she found the fruit to be physically appetizing, good for food. This temptation makes sin look like it will meet a legitimate physical need. She started to slip when the sin became emotionally attractive, a delight to the eyes. This temptation comes as being delightful, not disgusting. Satan will not tempt us with something ugly and atrocious. He always uses something attractive, like the newest, the greatest, the biggest, and the prettiest. He will never make sin look ugly and scary. He will never let you in on what all of the consequences of this choice of sinning will bring. He always makes it look new and great and big and pretty. Her downward spiral also began when it became spiritually appealing to make one wise. This appeals to the need for self-fulfillment and ambition. Our disobedient attitudes and actions against God begin in our mind and in our heart. And when you start putting your focus on yourself, you are already sliding down the slippery slope of sin. Don't spend time thinking about how nice sin would be, how good it would feel, or how much you deserve it. And by the way, this sin slippage compares with 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Where it says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The lust of the flesh, good for food. The lust of the eyes, delight to the eyes. Pride of life, the desire to make one wise. To avoid sliding into sin, be sure to be tied to God's truth. You ready for another one? Disobedience. Disobedience. Once Eve perceived this snack to be delicious, delightful, and desirable, she went all in towards disobedience. Remember what it said? She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. This was no accident. She just didn't touch it. She took it and she ate it. And by the way, there's no biblical evidence that the fruit was an apple. Are you aware that when Michelangelo painted this scene on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, he used figs as the forbidden fruit, not an apple? It's interesting that the term Adam's apple, you know what an Adam's apple is, right? Men, it's more pronounced in your throat than it is in women's throats. But it's interesting that the term Adam's apple originated from a folktale to explain the bulge in a person's larynx as caused by the apple sticking in Adam's throat. And helping this legend along is that this protrusion is more pronounced in men than it is in women. Now, aren't you glad you came to church today? Now, someone asks you later on what you learned in church today. I hope you will not tell them you learned about the Adam's apple. I hope you get far more out of the message this morning than that. But did you notice that after Eve ate, she did not immediately die? And then she gave the fruit to Adam, becoming more of a hindrance than a helper. Remember, that's what she was formed to do, to be a helper. Now she's become a hindrance because Eve has joined Team Satan by doing his dirty work for him. He didn't have to give the fruit to Adam. He talked Eve into taking it, looking at it, and eating it. And then she did what? She gave it to Adam. Interesting, isn't it? It's interesting that most people don't like to be alone in their sin, so they encourage others to sin with them. I know that from personal experience. I know that from hanging around when I was younger with the wrong kind of friends, in the wrong kind of crowd, going to the wrong kind of places. And when they sinned, they encouraged me to sin. And because they were sinning, it was a whole lot easier for me to sin. Did I know what God expected? Yes. Did I know what God's word said? Yes. But because people don't like to sin alone, they will encourage you, they will cajole you, they will tell you all kinds of things at Satan's behest to be able to get you to sin just like they are. And notice that Adam, again, was where? With her. And when you go back to the opening verses of Genesis chapter 3, the uses of the pronoun you is plural, which again indicates to us that Adam was with Eve during the entire time of this conversation with Satan. And as a result of not Eve's actions, but Adam's actions, God holds Adam responsible for their sin. And because of Adam's disobedience, the entire world now was given a sinful nature. We see this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, who is that one man, class? Very good, Adam. The many were made, what? Sinners. One man, many, now became sinners. When Eve sinned, Eve sinned. But when Adam sinned, all sinned. You got that? You might want to write that down. When Eve sinned, Eve sinned. But when Adam sinned, all humankind sinned. Now, I'd like to spend just a little bit talking to the men. I'm afraid there's a little bit of Adam in all of us and a lot of Adam in us. Adam was available, but he was absent. He was present, but passive. He saw the serpent, but said nothing. He noticed Eve was on a slippery slope, but he did nothing to bring her back. Men, we cannot just go with the flow. When you don't biblically and lovingly lead your family, your wife and children and grandchildren, they are going to pay the price. The price of what? Giving in to temptation, which then leads to sin, which then leads to not good consequences in their lives. Men, it's time for us to wake up. Stand up, man up, grow up, love up, and rise up for God and his truth. God, men, has given us that responsibility. Let's not fail him, and let's not fail the ones that he's given us the responsibility for. Adam followed Eve, and no one followed God. And every human continues to pay the price for their sinful choices. To avoid sliding into sin, be sure to be tied to God's truth. Here's another disgrace. Adam and Eve discovered that the forbidden fruit was not as tasty as they thought. Once they began to experience spiritual indigestion. Have you noticed how temptations which seem so good often lose their appeal once you give in to them. And after they disobeyed, they immediately became disgraced. Go back to verse 7. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. Sin never makes good on its promises. You might want to write that down too. Sin never makes good on its promises. And because of their choices, there were at least two consequences. The first one was opened eyes. And this is the fulfilling of Satan's promise found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, when Satan said, "When you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened." Thinking they would find enlightenment, they now see the reality of their rebellion and sinful action through the horror of their own unholiness. Their eyes are opened to the reality of what they did, and now they feel exposed, guilty, and alienated from God. Here's the second consequence: exposed nakedness. Now they knew that they were naked. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25, it says they were naked and not ashamed. And now they are completely exposed before each other and before God. And to be naked is often used to refer to the state of vulnerability. The knowledge of God and of good and evil did not make them like God and made them guilty. They knew more, but that additional knowledge came from an awareness of evil. Their nakedness, at one time a symbol of freedom and mutual enjoyment, now became a symbol of shame. You know, every temptation is a lie wrapped in a promise of freedom that leads only to bondage. I can't tell you how many people I have counseled with over the years that have given in to temptation after temptation, has fallen into sin after sin after sin. And they've come and they've wanted me to be able to help them. And the first thing that I would do is I would remind them that the more that they stay in sin, the more that they continue to fall into temptation, they are placing themselves into a prison that God never intended for them to be. The more that we habitually have sin in our lives, we are in bondage. In fact, Romans makes it very clear. Jesus made it very clear that when we sin, we become a slave to sin. Every temptation is a lie wrapped in a promise of freedom that leads only to bondage. Satan gives people what they want so they will eventually get what he wants them to have: guilt, shame, and separation from God. Adam and Eve's sin sent shockwaves through human history, causing collateral damage for all creation and for every culture. To avoid sliding into sin, be sure to be tied to God's truth. Here's another one. This is the last one: disguise. No longer feeling comfortable with being seen, they sewed fig leaves together in a weak attempt to cover themselves. Can you imagine how big those fig leaves had to be? And because of the shame of their sin, they tried to find an acceptable cover-up. Look at verse 7. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Their fig leaves concealed, but they did not really cover. In fact, the standard way we try to get rid of shame is to conceal it. But our attempts will not work any better than theirs did. You know, isn't that funny? That when we sin, the first thing we want to do is what? Cover it up. Because we don't want anybody else to know about it. And we try to cover it up so good, or we think we tried to cover it up so good, that not even God will see it. Can I let you in on a little secret? God sees it. So don't bother covering it up. So then what do? I'm going to tell you here in a moment. Because the relationship between Adam and Eve was fractured, they attempted to hide and covered their nakedness from each other. They did not confess their sin, so they tried to cover it up. And the fig leaves were never going to be a long-term solution. They were only a temporary solution at best. And there are so many problems with fig leaves. They fall apart easily. They itch. Not that I know from practical experience. It's hard to find the right size. And every day or two, you need to get a new outfit. Mankind's small attempt to cover their sin will always be doomed to fail. You can't cover it up good enough. You can't cover it enough, complete enough. You can't cover it up. So quit trying. Because of sin, even when we know the right thing to do, we go ahead and we choose to do wrong. Deliberately, repeatedly, defiantly. So here's how sin first entered the earth. One word, one name, Adam. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, placed in a paradise with everything good and only one tree forbidden, Satan tricked Eve into eating the forbidden fruit. She gave some to Adam and he ate too. And it was through that intentional choice that sin entered the world. Romans chapter 5 tells us. You know, if you'd been there that day, all you would have seen was a man taking fruit from his wife and eating it. No lightning, no thunder, no bells, no scary music in the background. Yet from that one act of disobedience, awful results flowed out across history, and it's still flowing yet today. Now, there's a theological word for this event. It's called the fall. It means that when Adam ate the fruit, he fell from a state of innocence into a state of guilt. He fell from grace to judgment. He fell from life to death. You sin. I sin. Because we have a sinful nature. And Paul says it like this. Because all sin. When Adam sinned, you sinned. When Adam disobeyed, you disobeyed. When Adam fell, you fell. Even though you and I were not in the garden, because we are descendants of Adam, we suffer the consequences of what he did. That's the bad news. You ready for the good news? There's a remedy. There's a remedy. And the answer is simple. We need the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." I thought, Pastor, you were going to give us the good news. Oh, let me keep reading. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. Whew! That's the good news. By grace you have been saved. That's the better news. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Isn't that good news? Isn't that great news? This gift came by the grace of Jesus. It is given to us by grace alone, God's grace alone, in faith alone. It is a gift. And if it's a gift, it must be free. And if it's not free, then it's not really a gift. And since it's a gift, you can only do one of two things with it. You can accept it or you can neglect it. Hopefully, everybody seated in this place this morning, everybody who's here in this place has accepted that gift. And in order to have that gift, you just need to believe in Jesus for the promised gift of eternal life. You just have to believe. It's by God's grace alone, through faith alone. You can understand that Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt of sin that you owed, because you could not pay that debt yourself. This gift can be yours today. If you're here today, you've never believed in Jesus for the promise of eternal life, do so today. Do so today. Don't leave this place until you say in the quietness of your heart and mind, I believe. I believe. And I believe that Jesus will give me, has given me, the gift of eternal life. This gift can be yours today. So the only way our sin is dealt with is that Jesus took it away. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming to the Jordan River to be baptized? He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our sin is not just covered. It's not just covered up. It's taken away. We cover up our sin. Jesus came to take it away. And only he can do that. And he did it by what he did on the cross. Stop concealing your sin. Start living according to God's truth. Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for what it is that you have shown us from your word today. And Father, yes, because of Adam's sin, because of the temptation that came to Eve, the temptation that came to Adam, Eve ate, and then Adam ate. And because Adam ate, sin has come upon all mankind. We all have a sinful nature, but there's a remedy. And that remedy is what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that remedy is the fact that he has promised everyone who believes in him that they can have eternal life. The book of John tells us over and over again that if we believe in him, we have eternal life. Father, thank you for that wonderful gift. Father, it is by your grace alone, through faith alone, that it becomes ours. Father, help us to quit living in sin and then trying to conceal it, trying to cover it up. Father, help us to use the remedy that you have given us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand for this last song?
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. As a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in. so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I hope you have a blessed Father's Day.